Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. For how many others does it seem like Resurrection Sunday last week was about 4 weeks ago? It just seems like it was a while, and a lot that's taken place between now and then. We're so thankful for all that the Lord's doing, and praise the Lord for it. John chapter number 20, let's stand together if you're able to for the reading of the Word of God. We'll start in verse number 24. John 20, verse number 24. The Bible says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus," I think I'd probably call him Thomas too, "called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." That phrase convicted me at the end of verse number 27. That says, "And be not faithless, but believing." Boy, that's a powerful statement. Be not faithless. And I want to preach kind of switching things around. We hear it all the time today. Well, seeing is believing. I just want to turn it around today and preach on the subject matter that believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. And I'm glad that we serve a risen Savior. And that's not just for Easter Sunday, by the way. That's for every Sunday. Amen. Let's pray, then you can be seated. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this testimony of Thomas, of the disciples. And Lord, you give us a little insight into the happenings of Thomas's life and, Lord, his frailty of belief. But Lord, you strengthen in him and him being able to believe in the resurrection because he saw. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us. And Lord, there's some things in the scriptures this morning. Lord, we may not be able to physically see all of it, but Lord, I pray that you'd help us to believe it because of the Word of God. And Lord, there's some people here today, I believe they need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that they'd make that decision for you today. And Lord, that you would be exalted in their lives now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I thought about this, I actually made mention the other day about what I may be preaching on, and I almost preached on the subject matter and entitled it, Don't Doubt 8 Days Later. And so we have 8 days later that Jesus has appeared to them. He appeared to them the night of the resurrection, according to verse number 19, after Jesus had rose from the dead. It says that same evening, that same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Well, then we read it in verse number 26, and after 8 days. And so as I've been looking at this passage of scripture, and listen, I don't quit reading about the resurrection just because Easter Sunday's over with. I'm still reading about the resurrection throughout this week. And I made mention of this the other night, and Brother Nate made mention that maybe we needed to move church to Monday for all the doubters. And then we could preach Don't Doubt 8 days later, and 8 days after the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. What we have take place here is that night of the resurrection, we have the physical appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says in verse number 19, that they were shut up, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. The Bible says they were shut up and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. And so they're thinking the same ones that just killed the Lord Jesus. Remember, Peter was accused, and that's when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times, just before Jesus was crucified. And so now, either for fear of their lives, because they're thinking, okay, we're going to go after his followers, or maybe they're trying to spread the rumors and the lies that someone stole the body of Christ, regardless of the reason, they're fearful of the Jews, and they're in that upper room, and the doors are locked, and the Bible tells us that Jesus stood in the midst of them at the end of verse number 19. Imagine the glorified body that the Lord Jesus had. He tells them in Luke chapter 24 that he was flesh and bone, no blood whatsoever. The blood was placed upon the mercy seat up there in heaven, as you study throughout the scriptures. He's flesh and bone, according to the scriptures, and he appears in the midst. And it would be similar to if we're meeting here this morning, that all of a sudden, without a door being opened, without a window being opened, that the Lord Jesus Christ were to appear physically in our midst while we're speaking here. That's what took place. No one said, here comes Jesus walking down the aisle. No one said that. It's just they're gathered around and Jesus appears in the midst. That gives us insight into how we will be in the glorified body that we'll have after death, and then throughout eternity, a glorified body that this mortal will put on immortality. But then we know that we go 8 days and we have this span of silence that is here. We have some of the apostles that are gathered together. But we know, according to verse number 24, that where we get the term doubting Thomas. How many have ever been accused of being a doubting Thomas? And so we know, according to the Bible, that when Jesus appeared the night of the resurrection, the Bible says that Thomas wasn't with them. And so Thomas had not seen the resurrected Christ in 8 days. Since Jesus rose from the dead, Thomas had not seen him, and all the other apostles, except for Judas, okay, all the other 10 apostles, they're all telling Judas, they're all telling Thomas, we've seen Jesus. We've seen Jesus. He's alive, he's well, he's appeared to us. You would think in the mouth of 10 witnesses that Thomas would be able to take their word, wouldn't you? Especially according to Old Testament law. Because the Bible teaches us, according to Old Testament law, that everything would be established in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. Well, here there's 10 apostles that are gathered around, and no doubt, I believe there's probably others, and Jesus has showed up. They're giving testimony. Hey, we've seen Jesus. He's alive. And Thomas says to him, I'm not going to believe. He makes a conscious decision not to believe until he said, I want to see the holes in his hands. And I want to see the hole in his side. Now, what made the holes in his hands? Those were the nails that the Romans drove through there to be able to attach him to the cross. You say, what's the hole in his side? That's where, after Jesus had given up the ghost and he had said, into thine hand I commend my spirit, and he had already given up the ghost and died, that the Roman soldier came by with his spear, and the Bible says he thrust it into his side. Right here up underneath his rib cage. You say, how do you know it didn't go through his rib cage? Because the Bible tells us not a bone was broken. had to come up underneath his rib cage and actually punctured up there. And most tell us, and medical doctors, you can study this out, that as the water and the blood came out, that it very possibly punctured that sac of water that is around the heart. And that water and blood came out, and no doubt that soldier that did that had to wipe the blood of Christ off his hands. And one preacher said this. He said, I wonder forever if that man's in hell today, separated from God, if he's still saying that blood that I washed off my hands could have saved me for all of eternity. So we have the holes that are in the hands of Christ. We have the hole that is in the side of Christ. And Thomas is saying, unless I see him, I'm not going to believe. So 8 days later, isn't it amazing how the Lord knows where our unbelief is? I don't know if there's record of the apostles getting with Jesus saying, hey, we told Thomas, but he doesn't believe. We don't know. Jesus appears in the midst of them 8 days later, and he's got one message as he walks in there. He doesn't address all of the apostles. Aren't you thankful for a personal Jesus that takes care of the needs that we have? He appears in the midst and goes right to Thomas. Said, Thomas, here's what you've been needing. Now, there's so many things, and I'm going to share a message in just a moment. There's so many things in this passage of Scripture that I think it's wonderful that we can be sitting in a group and Jesus show up with a message from the Word of God, or a message of encouragement, however it may be. And in an entire group, listen, Thomas was singled out and got exactly what he needed that day. You ever been sitting in a group and boy, the preacher's preaching and you're thinking, I'm the only one that's for. God speaking directly to me. This is what I need. It doesn't matter. Everybody else could be gone right now. This message is for me. I've been there more than once, but you know what's great about Jesus? Is as I'm sitting there and I'm saying, God, you gave that preacher that message for the hour just for me. There's someone else that's sitting over here saying, God, you gave that preacher that message for the hour just for me. God has a way of meeting our individual needs. And I'm so thankful for that. Jesus shows up in the midst. He goes over to Thomas. Doors being shut. Says, peace be unto you. Says, go ahead and listen. All he says to Thomas in verse number 27, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Exactly what Thomas needed that day, the Lord Jesus Christ gave to him. And I believe we could preach a whole message on that. That each and every day, God gives us exactly what's needed. It strengthened the faith of Thomas. And in the next verse, Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. I want to share a few thoughts looking down through this passage of Scripture as God was speaking to my heart on believing is seeing. And many times we're saying, well, I need it right there in front of me. Now, we talked about this. I've made mention of it. I actually just made mention of it in Sunday school. The greatest proof of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say that we have the proof here that Thomas was able to see his nail-pierced hands. We have the proof, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, where the Bible says that he appeared unto his disciples, and we have that. But then the Bible says that he appeared to over 500 brethren at one time. We have the eyewitness proof throughout history of being able to see the risen Savior. But Peter, towards the end of his life, as he's writing 1st and 2nd Peter, he would say this. He said, we were on the mount. We heard the voice from heaven. We've seen and experienced all these things. But he would close out that chapter by saying, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. Believing is seeing. And can I help us today on this matter of belief? I told a young man earlier this week that I do not believe in blind faith. I don't believe God gives us blind faith. And you say, well, why is that? That's what Thomas was being asked to do here. No, let me say this. Believing is seeing, and believing is simply taking God's word for it. You say, taking God's word for it? Yes. And nobody else's word for it. How many here this morning have ever had anybody that gave you their word and then they went back on it? I believe every one of us would probably raise our hands. How many here have ever given your word to someone and then maybe not maliciously, but you had to go back on it? Something came up and you weren't able to. Every person that's seated here. And if you say, well, I'm without fault on that. I've always kept my word. Well, you're the perfect human being then. But can I say this? More than anything that any human can say to us, believing is simply taking God's word for what we're believing. And we have the word of God that God has given to us. In fact, over and over and over, as the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon the face of the earth, do you know the message that he was giving to his apostles? He was giving them the message, listen, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. He said it over and over. Listen, I'm going to die, but listen, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. He told them over and over. Do you understand that Thomas very simply could have gone back and said, listen, I don't have to believe it because Jesus showed up on the day of his resurrection. I can believe it because Jesus has told us the whole time that he's here, and I'm just taking his word for it that he's alive this morning. Now, before we get too hard on the apostles and on those that he taught, I wonder how many of us would have been standing at the graveside on resurrection morning because Jesus told us he was going to raise from the dead. I wonder if we would have been there just watching the clock. I'm saying the sun now. Watching the clock saying, now, Lord, you said you were going to raise from the dead. And I'm just here waiting. I wonder how our faith would have been just taking the word of the Lord Jesus. Do you understand earlier in this chapter of Scripture, the Bible says in verse number 8, then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now listen, the same thing that we have mentioned here about Thomas saying, I want physical proof. The disciples 8 days earlier that showed up there, walked in, saw the empty grave, and then they believed because they saw it. So before we get on Thomas too much, Peter and John, when they showed up at the grave, had to see the physical proof. You say, well, Pastor, I need to see these things in order to believe it. Do you understand there is so much physical proof in our lives about the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I say this? There is no one else that can take an old drug addict or an old drunkard or an old thief and change their life. There's not one 12-step program that's going to do that. They'll get addicted to it. You say, well, we just don't see that happening today. Well, go talk to the man that was just up here playing the guitar a few minutes ago. Go talk to him over there. Go talk to some men that are sitting around. And not just men, let me say this. Go talk to some ladies that are sitting around here. And start saying, hey, what made the difference in your life that took that bottle out of your hand? I need to see it to believe it. Well, there's some that just got to the point and said, listen, I'm going to believe it. And then they were able to see it. You know what they had to do? They had to get to the point of believing and taking God's word on the matter. It's called faith. Taking God's word on it. You know, the Bible does say, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say, Pastor, I'd just like to believe God more. You know the number one thing I'm going to say, if you say you want to believe God more, I'm going to say get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. You say, boy, that just sounds awfully simple. You know, there is simplicity in the Christian life. It's simple. I just want more faith to be able to live. You know what I'm going to say? Get in the book. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You want more faith? It comes from that book right there. You say, well, I want to get to the point that I don't have to see everything to believe it. I want to be able to believe it and then God will reveal it to me. Then spend time in the scriptures. It's as simple as that. You know, the more and more I read the scriptures, I mean, we talk about it Thursday night at Bible Institute. I mean, we're talking about angelology from the scriptures and tracing the angels through scripture and the power that angels have. You know, in the Old Testament, there was one angel that slew 185,000 Assyrians. Now, think about that. One angel did all of that. You know what happens when I read things like that? I'm saying, you know, that's the same God that's on my side. Same one. When I see that they can march around the city of Jericho 13 times over 7 days, and they can just let out a shout, then blow the trumpets, and God causes the walls to fall down flat, you know what that does for me? That increases my faith. Well, where did I get that? Got it from the Word of God. Got it from the Bible. Hey, I can stand up all day long and tell you stories. Tell you accounts of how God has worked in my life. But more than this, you just go back and read that Bible. And boy, you can start believing more and you say, well, I just don't see it. Well, get in the scriptures and believe it. God will increase our faith. Thomas could have just taken God's word for it all the way through and said, can you imagine if he would have just looked at the apostles when they said, hey, Jesus is alive. Jesus showed up. Imagine if he just looked at him and said, I know. He said he was going to. Why do we act so surprised when God does something in our lives? When it's just simply taking God's word for it and simply believing. Let me show you what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Not going to verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's where we can take God's word on. We're going to be with the Lord forever. Now think about this. Anybody here ever seen heaven? And no, it's not New Hampshire. It's not Maine. It's not Ohio that West Virginia says almost heaven. Not any of that. But look what Paul said here. Reminds us in verse number 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And when we look at scriptures, you say, how do we know that there's more after this life? We've never seen it. No one's ever come back and told us what it's like after we get done. Everything we know about the afterlife, guess what? We find it right here in the Word of God. Do you know why I have hope? Because I'm walking by faith and not by sight. You say, how do you know that we're going to be present with the Lord? I've just got God's Word on it. And if it doesn't take place, guess who's the liar and not me? I'm just taking His Word on it. Taking His Word on it. Boy, believing is seeing. Believing is simply taking God's word for it. Now, let me share a few other things. I got more preaching than I got time this morning. Man, believing is simply taking God's word for it. But I saw this, verse number 26. Believing adds peace to your life. Peace to your life. What's the first message that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to them when he appeared to them. Listen, he gave it the night of the resurrection, and he gave it 8 days later. The first thing he says when he shows up is says, peace be unto you. Do you understand the first message that the angels gave to be able to talk about the and announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Fear not. Peace. Hey, we look at things in our lives and we understand this is where we take God's word for it again. It'll add peace. Remember what Jesus said? You get back into the book of John just a few chapters earlier. He said, hey, peace I give unto you. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You say, how can it not be? Hey, believing God brings peace. How many? We've just been, you go through turmoil in your life. There might be family turmoil. There might be relationship turmoil. There might be job turmoil. You know something? If we get to the point of believing God, boy, it's amazing how much peace. How much peace can be added to a soul throughout the midst of everything? You know, people are in turmoil all around us today. They're wondering what's going on with virus, with death, with what's going to happen for all of eternity. You know what brings peace to all of that? Believing God's word. And just adds peace to the soul. Just adds peace. We can live in peace each and every day. As one older preacher would say, he says, God's not even nervous. And he said he hasn't even taken a half a baby aspirin over it. He's not worried about it. Now that same peace is the peace that we can have in our souls. That's why he starts talking about prayer over in Philippians chapter number 4. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. You know what we have to do? We have to believe that word. We have to believe that prayer works. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many have ever taken something to God in prayer and listen, it's just in turmoil and there's just something when you pour it out and give it to God. Boy, there's just something. There's a peace that just enters the heart and enters the soul and there's just a calmness. That listen, it may not change the circumstances, but it sure changes me in the circumstances. And I'm saying here we are, we're going through this. If we just believe God, what is it? One of Brother Shepherd's favorite verses and passages of Scripture. You get over to Acts chapter number 26 around in that area, and Paul's on the boat, and he said, you should have hearkened unto me. He stands before them. They're in the midst of the storm. They don't see the sun. They don't see the moon, the stars for 14 days. And Paul steps up in the midst of them and says, for I believe God. Did that stop the storm that was going on? No, but it brought a calmness to the heart of Paul to be able to give to those that were around him. And listen, believing, you say, Pastor, I just don't see it. God may not be always asking us to be able to see it. God may be asking us to believe it first. And say, believing will bring peace. Because he said, blessed are those that believe and see not. Boy, we're going to be able to see some things as we go throughout the Scriptures. I'm so thankful for it. Believing adds peace to the life. But then, I already touched on this, but I'll touch on again. I look down through here in verse number 27. He saith to Thomas, and boy, aren't you so thankful? Let me pause right here. I already mentioned about Thomas. Aren't you thankful through our frailty of believing that God's patient with us? Can you imagine if God just wiped us out at the very moment of disbelief? Now, do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, now we see this in his ministry before the resurrection, but aren't you so thankful that Jesus is interested in the individual? That he comes to Thomas. Everybody else is just being able to hear it. And he comes to Thomas, but he closes with this statement after he says, here it is. Gives him exactly what's needed. Go ahead. Can you imagine? Some would say, oh, that's just gross. God gave Thomas exactly what he needed that day. But then he said this. He said, don't be faithless. Be not faithless. Do you understand he's talking to a disciple that's walked and talked with him and seen the miracles for 3.5 years? If there was ever a group, if there was ever a group of men and whose apostles that were there, they saw the raising from the dead. They experienced the walking on water. They saw the blind be made to see again. They experienced all of that. You say, well, I'd have a hard time believing someone raised from the dead too. Hey, I haven't physically seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm saved today. And do you know that part of salvation in our belief is believing that Jesus rose from the dead? And you say, well, I just don't believe that. Then you don't have Bible salvation. It's not enough to believe that Jesus just died for our sins. You say, well, I've never seen the resurrection. Do you know why we believe it? We got God's word on it. The Bible tells us Jesus rose from the dead. But then I realize this when he says, do not be faithless, but believing. I said, you know, believing is going to increase my faith too. It's not just going to add peace to my heart, but it's going to increase my faith. Do you understand the victory that the other 10 apostles were able to live in for the previous 8 days? Because they believed. And Thomas had gone the 8 days doubting whether Christ had risen from the dead. And I wonder this. I wonder the times that we take in delaying our belief in God, how much has been wasted. How much peace could we have had? How much increased faith could we have seen in our lives if we just simply believed God? There's those that sit under the preaching of the Word of God week after week after week after week, and they fail to place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and days are being wasted instead of believing and adding to faith. But then can I say this as I try to prepare to close at some point this morning? He said in verse number 29, and can I simply say this in the next 3 verses? Believing leads to a blessed life. Look what he said, verse number 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Do you know those? And we can look at some of the definitions that have been given for blessed. We come back and we see it in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man. Carries the meaning of happy and content and satisfied. Do you know where that comes from? Believing God. Believe in God. That's where it comes from. It ought to be that we as Christians that have believed God are some of the happiest and satisfied and joyful people that walk upon the face of the earth. Why? Because we've seen everything? No. But we believe God. Do you understand what took place? And we read these verses throughout the end of last year when you get over to Hebrews chapter 11. Then it starts talking about Abram actually starting to journey, and they journeyed and lived their life and never received the promises. They never saw the city, but it says that they received the inheritance as seeing him who is invisible. You say that just contradicts. No, it's called a thing called faith and believing. You say, Pastor, why is it? Now, listen, I'm not going to say that I haven't in my quiet times and in the depths of my heart had times over the past year and a half that I'm saying, what in the world's going on? Is it going to make it through? Are we going to come out the other side of it and all the uncertainty of it? But some people would say, how is it that you can just we can be steady going forward? We don't see the end of it. But we can believe God. We can believe God. Now, there are times that I don't see the end except for reading the book of Revelation. There are times that I'm saying I don't see the end result. I don't see the end game. I have several people and several pastors over the past several months, and I'm talking probably, what are we in now? This is April. I'm talking over December, January. What's the end game of all of this? What is going to be the end game? Are there going to be those that get their vaccine and magically and over time come back into church? If they're not going to get their vaccine, are they coming back into church? What's the end game of all of it? I quit trying to figure it out. I've just got to go on. I'm going to stand up here Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Thursday night, and we're going to preach the Word of God. We're going to preach the Word of God. I'm not going to get up on a Thursday night and say, where is everybody? I'm not going to get up on a Sunday morning and say, boy, the crowd's awfully low. No. I'm believing God. I'm going to believe God. At some point, just so you can get ready for it, there will be a message. And I was this close to it being today. I'm preaching a message on we're still here. We're still here. But this subject matter of simply, we say simply, but believing God. I believe God's desiring a group of people, families, individuals, a church that says, you know something? I understand everything that's going on out there. But I can't do anything else except believe God. And that's what I've got to hold on to. Believe God He's going to take care of me and my family. Believe God He's going to take care of our church. Believe God He's going to provide. Listen, I believed Him to the saving of my soul. Believed Him for eternity. And you may be here today, and one of the hardest things you're finding to do is just say, okay, I'm going to believe Him. Well, Pastor, I just don't see it. Listen, God doesn't lay out the entire Christian life ahead of us. What He's asking us to do is saying, would you believe me? Would you believe me? You may be here today. You're not saved. You've never trusted Christ. You know you need Him. You've acknowledged you need Him. Why don't you just believe Him? Why don't you just believe Him? What He's done for others, He'll do for you with arms wide open. Was it John Hamlin that wrote that song? Did you sing that? I thought someone maybe just sang, or I gave the testimony of it. It just comes down to believing God. I wonder what you need to believe Him for today. You say, well, if just in turmoil in my life, I wonder what God's saying, would you just believe me in it? I wonder if it's for salvation. I wonder if it's for family. I wonder if it's for the future. I wonder if you just, God's saying, would you just believe me? Do you understand? I'm going to close with this. Do you understand that the sin in the wilderness with the nation of Israel that kept them from experiencing the blessings of God in the promised land, according to Corinthians, was the sin of unbelief? Do you know what God was desiring of the children of Israel? Would you just believe me? Just believe. I've already given you the promises. I've already made a way. Wherever the sole of your foot is put down, I've already given it to you for an inheritance. And Paul reminded the church at Corinth, because of their unbelief, they were turned back into the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief. And I wonder how much more God would reveal to us and show to us if we believed Him. If we believed Him that He is who He says He is, that He'll do what He says He'll do if we just believe him. Believing is seeing, taking God's word for it. You might need to be saved today. You just need to believe God for eternal salvation. You may need to take some steps in your Christian life. You just need to believe God that he's going to provide and be able to meet the needs. I'm thankful we may not see all of it. I'm thankful we can believe God. I see him, not necessarily the results. And I want to see him. I want to see him more. I want to take God's word for it. You know, there's another example. I'm just going to give this to you. Remember in the scriptures, when Jesus appeared to Mary there at the tomb, and he said, I want you to go tell my disciples. And then he said this, and Peter. And I just thought the individual needs that God meets to us. No doubt there was a Peter that was doubting. He had denied Christ three times. He wasn't there at the crucifixion. I don't know what took place in his heart over those 3 days. But Jesus specifically called him out and said, tell Peter. And God takes care of us individually. And you may have gotten some help today. Wasn't even anything that I said. That's just wonderful of the Holy Spirit of God on what he does for us. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful?